Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Welcome to episode 80 of the Go Get That podcast. Again, no Bob. We're recording this today after we recorded our Valspar recap. Bob is still battling the flu. He's got 102, 103 fever, so he's still down in the dumps. He's recovering though. We talked to him today. He's starting to feel a little bit better, so I think he'll be back for the recap a week from now. We are here for Jordan's final tune-up before the Masters at the match play. Possibly the last match play for a while. Who really knows? Wrapping up an 8 of 9 week stretch, Dan, I believe.
Wow.
Is it 89?
Let's see. That's... I might be 7 of 8.
Still a lot of golf.
So, yes, lots of golf has been played by Mr. Jay Spieth these past 2 months. Obviously, the results kind of started to come during that Florida swing. Couldn't quite pick up a win. Which would have been nice, but trends are starting to be fit as we approach Augusta. You kind of touched on it. I think will be probably a overblown storyline this weekend is that this is the last match play on the schedule. My bet is NBC like hammers that and runs with it, and Azinger's like, oh my God, this guy's about to win the last match play ever. We'll see. You know, I think the tour is in a spot where they're listening to players, people, or fans, I should say, should specify. So if match play makes sense to have in this part of the season or in any part of the season, I think they will bring it back. It's disappointing that Austin Country Club won't be kind of featured in March because it's a cool course. I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit. Oh, and I know Bob loves it, so it's a little disappointing he's sick, because I think this is like, I mean, I don't really agree with him, but I think this is his, or I think he's like, this is a top, is it his favorite? I don't know if that's true, but I think
favorite non-major?
It's
might
definitely
be
a top five course for him.
Easily, yeah. I know Memorial's up there for him, yeah. But I think Austin and Memorial are up there, and Austin's just awesome too, because I mean, it's a great match play golf course.
Yeah.
There's tons of risk and reward holes, which makes it a fun watch. I somewhat am upset that, I mean, this might be the last one for, you know, however many years, but I try to be half glass full and kind of realize each side, you know, the fans want it, but I mean, let's be 100% honest here. The tour doesn't do stuff because the fans want it. I don't think they do it because the players are on the tour, as Monahan says. And I think there's a lot of guys on tour that don't love it. I think they love it because it's a big purse, it's an elevated event, and it makes them a lot of money. But you know, you lose your first match on Wednesday, odds are you're probably not making it to the weekend. So I mean, that's 18 holes and you're essentially done, unless right. You get some things to go your way, which I assume the players don't really like, but it is what it is. It's fun, it's a nice change away from stroke play, which we, you know, deal with for 20 plus tournaments, to throw another, you know, different type of tournament in there.
Yeah, I think it really, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's a tournament for the fans more than it is for the players. And even then, like, it's more fun Wednesday, Thursday, because it's like, all right, these matches matter. And then Friday, you get like the 0-2 matches and they go off early because they don't matter. And then Saturday morning's pretty cool. You get the Sweet 16. But then Sunday's just kind of dull. I mean, you see four golfers the whole day. So it's and it's like they're playing 36 holes, and you see this. You're seeing the course for the 7th time now. The players themselves are tired. I know a lot of them had the week off last week. But guys coming from Valspar are likely playing their third or maybe their fourth event in a row. The Masters is in 2 weeks. It kind of hurts the Valero field the next week. And I don't think players really want to play. Obviously, they love golf, but they're not trying to play 7 rounds in 5 days to win a tournament. It's a lot more of a battle of attrition than it is typically, I would say. So, or at a, you know, normal PGA Tour event. But we'll enjoy it this week. I've got the bracket pulled up here. There's some tough groups, obviously. I think we can probably transition into the group for Mr. Spieth this week. It's a very winnable group. That being said, I don't know how much Jay Spieth has in the tank, but I'd like his chances to get out of the group this week.
Yeah, I was extremely pleased when I saw the group come out. I put in my story on Instagram, and I got like 3, 4, 5 people DMing me like, it's a pretty good draw for Jordan. I'm like, it really is. I think, you know, the 2 seed in his bracket or the second pool players, Shane Lowry and his history in match play is just awful.
He's awful. So bad.
Yeah, he's like 7-16, I think, or something.
Yeah, I think he's 2-7-3 at Austin Country Club.
Yeah, and I don't think he's been good in the Ryder Cup format either.
No, he's been bad in that format too. Yeah, so Lowry's been terrible. Mackenzie Hughes has actually been okay around Austin Country Club, but that's mostly due to some hot putting, right? And his game kind of fitting the match play mold. Obviously, Taylor or Tyler Montgomery hasn't played here yet, but good ball striker, good putter. But certainly could be a worse group for Spieth this week.
Oh, easily. I mean, we golf nerds are following, you know, the journey of Ricky Fowler to try to get into Augusta, and he got, I think, probably the group of death with Rahm, Ricky, Billy Horschel, and Keith Mitchell. So, you know, I feel bad for Ricky, and at the same time, I'm very happy that Spieth doesn't have to deal with his 2 seed through 4 seed being the guys that Ricky is going to have to go through.
Yeah,
I think just to sum it up pretty easily, Jordan got a pretty good draw, and I assume he's probably looking at it that way as well.
Yeah, I'd assume so. He's also played this course pretty well. He's 10-7-3 here. So he's got good form at Austin Country Club. Obviously, they come out and play it at the University of Texas. I'm sure he's played this course at dozens of times, I should say. So course history will not be an issue this week. I'd expect the game to translate, right? I think this is a place where you will hit drivers and you're going to try and make birdies. So you're going to go at pins. And with the way he's been swinging his irons, I'd expect some good shots. And he's been making putts. So that's always a good way to kind of capitalize and, you know, go up early on guys, and then we'll see. I think one of the keys that I'm looking at this week, I have a couple keys, but one of them kind of ties into this is like, how does he kind of finish? You know, if he gets to a spot where he's 2 up 4 to play on, I don't know, Hughes or something who he's playing on Wednesday, you know, just how does that match finish, right? And what kind of shots does he hit? And on Wednesday, it's probably not too big of a deal, but if it gets to Friday and somehow Lowry is has played well this week, and this, you know, the winner gets to go through and Spieth's got a lead, I'm sure there'd be some more pressure. And I think this is a good spot to have, specifically off the tee, just some more pressure tee shots to kind of have yourself hit. And as we've seen at API and then also Valspar, hasn't been the best when he's needed them. So good chance really every day to get a shot at having some pressure to execute in the moment, so to speak.
No, I'd agree for sure. I think you said it really well. I mean, the pressure tee shots, you know, the one at 16 at Valspar, some of the ones at API down the stretch haven't been good. I still give him, I don't want to say benefit of the doubt, I just think it's stuff he can clean up. But yeah, I mean, it's another opportunity in a pressure pack situation to see what he has. I think he embraces that, which is nice. And yeah, we talked kind of, we were recording the players, what am I talking about? The Valspar recap last night. And when we stopped recording, we were kind of discussing this week and how, you know, the expectations aren't great. I think, you know, Jordan's probably a little mentally worn out after the stretch. And even I think us as fans are kind of, you know, okay, let's just get to Augusta at this point. But, you know, I see the group come out today and I'm like a shark in the water. Like, I think, okay, this is not like a group of death. Mm-hmm. I think he can, you know, beat these guys, at least get out of his group. And that's kind of where I am right now. I'm not going to be pissed if he doesn't play well. Well, I shouldn't say that. He needs to play well, but if he doesn't get out of his group, so be it. But I think at the same time, like, I look at the other groups and I'm like looking at our group, I think, you know, why not us? Yeah. That type of mentality. Doesn't need to win this week, but there's no reason I don't think where he can't be playing on Saturday.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's probably the goal for most of the guys, right? Like, I think you see plenty of upsets in these brackets. I think what Victor Dubuisson beat Bryson a couple years ago. I hope I got the right Victor there. It might have been Victor Perez, but it's just a spot where, I mean, Austin Country Club is a course built for match play, right? We touched on that, and you can get big swings on the same hole. You can build momentum really quickly and then lose it really quickly as well. So it'll reward players. I think, you know, if you can hit it farther, right? It's not the biggest ballpark. So if you can take advantage of your length and give yourself some more like scoring wedges inside of 100 yards, you know, up to 125, you're going to do pretty darn well this week. And that's good for Spieth. I think that's another area that's kind of improved, I'd say, in the last couple of weeks. It wasn't his best stuff earlier in the year, and you know, the numbers kind of back that up, that it's one, starting to turn around, and two, becoming that kind of strength of his game, an area that you can rely on. All right, hey, we're gonna hit a pretty good wedge shot here and give ourselves a good look at birdie.
Yeah, I think it's another. I was also like thinking about this a little bit. It's another golf course where he's going to play in the wind. Like, I mean, the dude's been playing in the wind like the last 4 or 5 weeks, which is, I guess, interesting. I think you expect it in Florida, probably expect it in Texas too, but kind of just he's been playing in tough conditions and hitting his irons well, which I think is a nice sign. I think looking just way ahead here, but once we get to like past, I mean, who knows if Augusta is going to be windy or not, but it's nice to see him hitting his irons and wedges really well in like the elements. You got to flight the shots. That's nice to see. I'm trying to think what else I have on this week. Like, I think this will probably be a shorter preview to an extent, just because, again, Bob's not here and he's a match play fiend. He loves this week. And it kind of sucks too, because like Dan and I are kind of like, okay, the match play is cool. He loves the match play, so it's kind of unfortunate that we don't have the differing view. But I feel good with the game. I think it's funny too. I was looking at my Instagram earlier today, and I was going back to last year to see my match play like tee time posts. I was so much more excited last year than I am this time around. I'm kind of like, okay, I know he's there. I just think this is a brutal week. Well, not a brutal week, but like it's very hard to win this week. I think he's probably tired. It wouldn't shock me if he gets out of his group, which is probably going to be my goal for the week, and Saturday just comes out a little bit flat. Mm-hmm. I could live with that. But yeah, the excitement for this week probably a little bit lower than in years past, just because, I mean, we're playing really well this year, and kind of last year we weren't playing very well. So I was thinking last year, another opportunity. This year, I'm like, okay, I know what he has. Right. Let's just move along.
Yeah. And I don't think there's a need to overreact to the overall result this week. I think obviously the strokes gain numbers will still be important, even though they won't be maybe as full. Like, I think the strokes gain total number will, like, if he's losing strokes per round, because he's shooting a 72 or whatever it is, that's not ideal. But that's more important to look at than if he goes. I prefer him to play well and not get out of his group than play poorly relative to the field and get out of his group, as weird as that may sound. Like, I'd rather just keep the good play going. Couple things that I've still got up my sleeve here. I think it's supposed to rain this week. which is a little bit disappointing, although we have had a good run of weather for course setup. Obviously, the Valspar was fantastic. The players got a little unlucky with some of that rain because that course was getting firm and fiery as well. But I'm actually pulling up the weather right now as we speak. Get out of here, Ad. But I'm pretty sure rain is in the forecast, which makes it a little bit softer. Wind is going to die down as well, which is not ideal. Yeah, some evening showers tomorrow, potentially some showers on Wednesday. Looks like it's going to rain Friday, so maybe a softer course on the weekend. But Wednesday and Thursday might play pretty tough. South winds in the mid-teens. So we shall see. Hopefully there's no delays. I know, obviously, because the field's a little bit smaller, they can kind of manipulate tee times a little bit more, which is good for the tour in that sense. But if you're expecting a firm, fiery Austin Country Club, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen, particularly on the weekend. But Wednesday, Thursday might be pretty fun. So look forward to that. I don't know if you have updates on featured groups or anything like that for the first two rounds.
Yeah, I was looking. So Wednesday, just from Jordan's perspective, he's not going to be featured, it appears. And then Thursday versus Montgomery, ESPN Plus has him as the marquee group.
Interesting. So I saw that as well.
Something changes on that. And then Friday, obviously, with the tee time still to be determined. I guarantee if the match is, you know, for like an advancement or something, it'll probably be featured, but that's TBD for right now.
Yeah. And that match against Mackenzie Hughes on Wednesday, that's right?
Yes.
Yep. Starts at what, 1:15, 1:16 Eastern or something like that. So he'll likely be shown at least, you know, on the back nine on Golf Channel or whatever it may be. So if you're looking, excuse me, for some Spieth coverage, won't be as good as it has been in the previous weeks. I think he's been featured, well, I guess not this past weekend at Valspar, on ESPN Plus at least, but he's played well, so we've seen a lot of him recently, which is cool. I did have a thought about the putter, and I was just kind of thinking about this as, because I know, you know, when we saw the new form or whatever at the API, I saw some results. Bob kind of brought up, it's like, oh, it's new, it's different, it's what we've been kind of waiting for him to do. And I kind of pushed back a little bit, but I didn't quite have my argument very well thought out, because I don't disagree, because it clearly what he's doing appears to be new, and it's different than what he was previously doing. I think my kind of thought about that is, I think he's been working on this for a little bit behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, to me, this isn't a, it's not really, it's more of a setup change and a posture change than a stroke change, I think. But I guess it just kind of incorporates the stroke as well, and this change does. So I think this has been something that's kind of been in the locker, so to speak. And I just don't think he felt overly comfortable pulling it out in a tournament yet. But to me, so I want to get your thoughts, because that's a little weird to me, because it seems like if you're gonna do something new on the practice green potentially, or just get back to setup and form and whatnot, especially for the putter, it would make sense that you just start doing that, because you don't want to switch between the two necessarily. But, like, do you think he put in all that work over the one off week in between Genesis and API?
Oh, man, that's actually a phenomenal question. I wish I had an answer. Like, I haven't thought about that, to be 100% honest. I'd have to say no. I just don't think you bring that out of the locker. And who knows? Maybe he just said, all right, F this. I am done crapping up on every greens I go to in the country, Hawaii, LA, wherever. It's a great question though, Dan. I haven't thought about that. And the thing with the putter as well that you mentioned, the new hunched over type of look, I don't think that's really the end goal. Kind of what he was trying to do with the swing in 2021. I think it works, but I mean, Yeah, I mean, he wants to putt how he did in 15 or 19. Because if you look at him putting in 15 or 19 compared to today, it's different.
Yeah.
I don't think with the putter that he's nearing the, or I shouldn't say nearing. He might be nearing it, but I don't think he's at the end goal yet with what he wants it to look like. And I think that's pretty obvious in the results. There's still some really bad rounds. There's still some bad strokes, but it's improving. If we go away from the putter for a second, and just because I want to, you know, I got to be the half glass full person that I am and being the happy person that I am. I think with the swing, he's just about reached, I think, where he wants to be at. I think you talk about and how 2021 was that Band-Aid, and I think Kyle Porter tweeted it out, was it yesterday, that Spieth is, like, gaining shots on approach in 15 of 16 rounds now.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a Band-Aid. That's a, I know what the heck I'm doing, and I'm doing it.
Yeah.
There's obviously a bad swing in the bag every now and then, but right. I think the iron play and the driver, for the most part, don't get me wrong, the driver still, there's some issues there that need to be worked out, or where he wants it in terms of like the end goal, and the putter is still, you know, a work in progress.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to compare the two. I'd say the iron play is, I would bet he would say it's still not precisely where he wants it.
Oh, always.
But I think it looks a lot more like he wants it to. Like, I think it looks and feels a lot better, and clearly he trusts it very well. So I hope that he doesn't, you know, tinker around. Obviously, guys' swings change pretty much every year.
Yeah.
You know, even, I mean, obviously Tiger did it all the time, but even DJ, who seems to have the similar finish, there's always tweaking stuff, right? There's always things that are going on, and with Spieth, it can just be over exaggerated or whatnot. But I think that's a good point with the, well, particularly with the irons. Obviously the driver, we'll see. I think the driver's not that far off. It's just like I don't have a suggestion. It seemed like everything was missing a little right, which made me think he was just a little late on everything.
Yeah.
Like the face was just half a degree open, or maybe not even half a degree, a tenth of a degree open, and it just wasn't turning over. And then you get a little wind, especially into or whatever, and it just blows it all over the place. So not overly concerned there. But, and you know, kind of back to the putter, it is kind of a 2021 Band-Aid thing. Because he's not going to be hunched over like that forever. He's obviously a very feel player. So it looks, I bet he feels a little weird doing it, because it kind of looks like a practice drill almost when he's doing it. It's very like,
yeah,
I'm going to be very rigid. And that's, to be honest, it's probably an overcorrection, but the results are good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you just keep, you know, you keep working on it, and then you'll see some more Jordan Spiethness in his setup as we go forth here. But the thought about it came to my head because I the results have been so much better than they were these past 3 weeks, and it's been consistent, that especially from inside of 8 feet, that I don't think mechanics could just fix it like that. You know, just fixing mechanics in 1 week could get results like that, because you still have to trust it. You still have to have confidence in the fact that that's what it's doing. And I know that the putter can kind of pop or fall into recession, so to speak, quicker than all the other things. But I figured it had to be something that it had been at least discussed or worked on or just kind of thought out. And then after Genesis, it was like, all right, this needs to be more locked in, or who knows, maybe, I mean, he's a grinder too. So maybe he just put in a lot of hours and started to feel more comfortable, but it is nice to see a lot more putts go in. I think something on Sunday in the recap we didn't mention was inside of 6 feet, he brought in Greller a lot, which is good because I think Greller knows how to read putts.
Yes.
Inside, but then everything outside of like 10 feet, you know, everything outside of 8, I'd say 10 mostly, it was all him, you know, and he was really good from 10 to 15 feet on Sunday. You think about the 10-footer on 14, obviously the bogey putt on 16, the par save on 9. I'm trying to think of other. I guess the putt on 8 wasn't. It was just short of that range, but also kind of the longer end of the shorter putts. So
it was like 9 feet.
Yeah, just seeing them go in from 10 to 15 feet again is really nice and will help certainly quite a bit at anywhere you play, but Austin Country Club especially, because you're gonna, with the way he's hitting the irons, he's gonna have
looks,
probably 4 or 5 looks inside of 20 feet, if not more, around. So
yeah, I'd agree.
Probably more with par fives and stuff, but outside of the par fives.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good stuff with the putting. I mean, he has gained strokes putting in 3 straight events in which he made the... He didn't do that at all in 2022. He did not gain strokes putting in 3 straight events in 2022 in events he made the cut. Because he missed the cut at Traveler, so I'm not counting that. Yeah. And then I think it was Travis Fulton on Twitter, who's a golf coach, swing coach, putting coach, whatever. And I think he was the one who said, like, Spieth putting, like, it doesn't look, like, great. And he's like, I don't think he'll be in this type of, you know, position very long. I probably agree. I think, as we've kind of been saying, it's a Band-Aid. He doesn't want to look like that. I don't think he's as freed up as he is trying to get to. And that's, I think, a fact. If you look at 2019, 2015, he looks much more free there than he does now. The results are there, but I don't think he's probably as comfortable as he was in 15 and 19. But it's just nice to see some baby steps, some steps in the right direction with the putter that we really didn't see all of last year or the first couple months this year.
Right. And we know he likes to, I don't want to say overcorrect, but given how much he relies on feel, when mechanics go wrong, it makes sense to him, and I think Cam McCormick as well, to like almost overdo the feel of the proper mechanics. Like, if you look at the way he's set up, it's very rigid and very like left arm 45 degree angle type stuff, which I think is good. And obviously the stroke is a little bit, I'm not going to say robotic, but it's certainly not as free as he probably wants. But you can see how much it helps inside of 8 feet. And you can see that he's actually, you know, people were wondering about like the greens books not being there, if that was hurting him quite a bit. And you can see now that, well, he's capable of putting without those greens books. I would say that the speed has been a little off, and I wonder if that's, you know, the new setup may have something to do with that. Could be kind of a thing there and something to look at as well. Or maybe he's just being more aggressive because he feels more comfortable hitting a 4-footer afterward. But so, yeah, good signs with the putter. I think, you know, if we want to go in, not too much, but you worried at all about the around the green? Like, not worried, but just like any sense of like...
Oh, no. That dude's a wizard, and I guarantee, you know, off Valero week, he'll be at Augusta Saturday or Sunday, and the first thing he'll be doing is he'll be at the short game area. I guarantee that. I always give him the benefit of the doubt with the short game, just because it's, I mean, every week is different. The types of bunkers you're playing in, how the sand is, how the greens are reacting, like every week is different. And I mean, he's notoriously been just a short game wizard around Augusta. So not too worried on that end. And I wanted to get back to the driver for just 1 second, because I know you expressed some concern in the Valspar recap, along with a little bit tonight. I think what people need to like realize is like he's been playing at Bay Hill, tough place to drive the golf ball. The Players with those winds, tough place to drive the golf ball, bunch of water all over the place. And then the Valspar, where there's trees all over the place and it was windy. Like, he's been playing like tough golf courses to drive the golf ball. And you add in the wind and you just add in just being a slight bit off. As you said, he's been late. When it gets into the wind, he mentioned this on Sunday, and it starts spinning, the misses become just wild. So it'll be interesting, you know, this week at Austin, where the rough isn't as significant as it's been the last few weeks. There's obviously still some tree issues you can get yourself into, but just like Augusta, you can, you know, get just a little bit wild off the tee and you're always going to have a second shot. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'd like to see some progress in that department this week.
Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more like comfort, because it felt like Sunday at Valspar, after he hit the ball, it was always like a lean or a, you know, there were very few twirls and tee pickups. And those have become very accustomed. We've become accustomed to seeing those the past year, or 18 months or so. Like, he's driven it great for a long time now, like way better than he did when he was at his best, because he just hits it longer now, which is fantastic. But so just dial that in a little bit. I think match play in general, like, I obviously he's not 99.99% sure he's not playing Valero. So this will be kind of the last week of Masters prep, and I think it's a good spot. You know, you're going to have to make some pressure putts, going to have to make some pressure, execute pressure shots every day in theory, right? Like, I don't know if he'll be under too much pressure playing Mackenzie Hughes on Wednesday, but as you pointed out, like, if he wants to win, which he does, if you lose, you're in a really bad spot. Yeah. Like, especially in the group play. So every shot, every hole is of particular importance and adds just a little bit more pressure to both respond to the other player and, you know, put yourself in a good position to win or close out a match or whatever it may be. So I like the idea of playing this week. Like, I like the opportunities that it offers to test him and challenge him and kind of figure out, learn more about himself, practice in elements. And, you know, one of my favorite like things to say is that it's so dumb, but it's like, you can't replicate game reps unless you're in a game. Like, you can play practice matches against Scotty at Merido or whatever. I don't really care. That doesn't mean a whole lot, but you get on Saturday and you play Max Homa in the Sweet 16 and you guys are all square heading to that par five up the hill. You got to put a good ball in the fairway, especially if he's already got one in the fairway, which knowing Max Homa, it's pretty likely because that dude's a killer. But good chance to just get some game reps. Are the only way to match game reps, and this is a good chance to get some game reps this week.
No, so. I think you mentioned it kind of earlier too. He's been in contention, like deep contention, twice this year. And all three of these matches, or at least as long as he wins like the first one, ties the second one at the minimum. Like, it's more pressure pack situations. And, you know, obviously there are the people that are out there and saying he's a choker. And that, you know, when the pressure turns on, he gets really he plays poorly. He has the big miss, can't make a putt. So it's just good opportunity. I think, not getting too ahead of ourselves here, we expect to be in contention come Sunday at the Masters. So any more preparation just cannot hurt. And yeah, I hope we get out of our group. I just think that would be a nice goal for this week. I probably think that's his goal. I think he would, you know, let's see what happens. Let's get through and just see what happens over the weekend. Cause I'd be lying myself if I didn't think some fatigue will set in come Saturday, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, I think that's a fair goal for Spieth. And I think reasonable expectations to have. If you have him to win, I, you know, don't dislike that because obviously he's playing well, but I would caution with some fatigue. Seven rounds. He's already played 3 weeks straight. I was talked a little. He was out there on Monday. We're recording this on a Monday. He was out there today, which was surprising, but maybe not for a guy as competitive as him. I know Bob's not here, obviously, but we'll bring our bets at some point. But they actually haven't really posted much on any of the major sports books, so we don't have a whole lot. But do you have any like leans or plays or guys you like this week?
So there's just one guy. I don't really know if I'm gonna bet him or not, but I kind of like Jason Day this week. He's very good in match play, playing great golf. But I mean, I don't know if he's going to be in my card yet. I got to figure that one out.
I liked Day as well. He has a very tough group, though. We can. The other thing about one more like Spieth thing here. While his group isn't that great, the guy he will play in the Sweet 16 and then likely the Elite Eight is probably pretty good. Because Homa's in the group next to him. Cantlay is a guy that a lot of people are picking to make a run, so he would face him in the Elite Eight. So that's kind of a tough little pod down there in the bottom left of the bracket. If you're looking for a lock to like win the bracket, it seems like I don't know how Scottie Scheffler loses more than loses or you know doesn't win more than two of the matches against Tom Kim, Alex Noren, and Davis Riley. To me, that seems like an absolute lock. Rom, I mean, we talked about the kind of pod of death, so to speak. Rom, Horschel, Mitchell, Fowler is tough. And I know Ricky's got to get out of his group and likely win one on Saturday to qualify for the Masters this week. Because obviously, if he doesn't do it this week, he'd need a win at Valero to get in.
Yikes.
Morikawa, Jason Day, Svensson, and Victor Perez. Seems like Morikawa's are days to lose there. I like Chris Kirk out of the Hovland, Siwoo Kim, Kuchar bracket there. I like Homa to make a run. I think he's probably one of the outrights I'll have at like 22-1. I think he's a killer. And you know, I was doing some research earlier. He lost the last two times he's played here. He lost to Billy Horschel in a playoff to win the group 2 years ago. So like they were both tied after the on Friday at group play, played him in a playoff, lost. Horschel went on to win the whole thing. And then he got last year he just got beat by DJ. And DJ went 3-0 and made a run to the Final Four. So he's played well here and he just runs into the wrong guy. And unfortunately for Bob, Kevin Kisner is not winning that pod. Homa should be able to take care of Mr. Kisner and Mr. Justin Suh. I think Matsuyama played really well last time we saw him. But I just like Homa's grit, his grind. And I think this is one he would love to, you know, I think he just wants to win a lot right now. And I think he's very capable of it.
I keep backing him.
Yeah, I love Homa this week.
He's good.
A lot of guys like Cantlay. He's played well here too. He's dude. Cantlay is flushing the golf ball right now. He's just not like putting it together. I don't know if this is the spot for him. Just because of the variety that match play might offer, but he's got a good group: Harmon, Cage Lee, and Nick Taylor. Like Cantlay should probably make a run, and then. You know, he don't have to face the winner of a Burns, Power, Scott, Hadwin group, and nobody's really playing great there. Although Sam Burns, I think, could be a sneaky good pick. So
he's starting to play a little bit better golf. Yeah,
he certainly is. Burns is he played really well on Sunday at the Valspar. Obviously, that's kind of his spot, but he's not as bad as he was at API a couple weeks ago.
There's no getting worse than that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I like Denny McCarthy to get out of the Rory Bradley Stallings group.
I not on my card. I don't know yet, but I don't think Rory gets out of his group.
Yeah, Bradley withdrew last week. McCarthy, dude, he had a T19 last week and he lost strokes putting.
That's not a good sign for that group.
Which McCarthy, like, if you don't know who Denny McCarthy is, that dude just doesn't miss. And he's hitting it really nice right now. Tyrrell Hatton's a popular pick. He got a pretty good group, only Russ Henley, Herbert, and Ben Griffin. Although it could be a Ben Griffin week, to be honest. That dude, this course fits his game a lot better than last week.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Thigala's got a good group. Shoffley's got kind of a tough draw with Tom Hoagie and Cam Davis. Obviously, Aaron Wise, I would be surprised, almost surprised if he won a hole this week, given how he's played recently. That's too harsh. But Cam Davis and Tom Hoagie both played really well at the Players. Kind of just going through them all, I guess. Zalatoris is back. That's a kind of boring group with him, Fox, English, and Putnam, but
that's very boring, yeah.
We'll see. Finau, Kitayama, Bezuidenhout, Meronk. That's also kind of boring, but Finau, Kitayama will be fun. I also really like Cam Young this week.
Interesting. That's interesting.
And it's mostly, I think, one, he's playing pretty well and just kind of hasn't put it all together. Obviously, we saw a little bit of his round at the Players where he had it going early and people were like, oh, course record watch or whatever. And then
came to a screeching halt.
Then he bogeyed like three of his last seven to finish at like a respectable 68 or something like that. So, and he new caddy on the bag this week, Paul Tesori, obviously Webb Simpson and Paul split. It just feels like the new caddy thing always seems to work out pretty darn well. And maybe it's the difference that Cam Young needs to win. And it would be a good spot for him, I think. And he's had a pretty good number too. I think I saw like 40-1 on him, which seems a little bit for a guy who can hit it as well as he can. Like and he doesn't have to, you know, hit 3 or 4 footers too often, maybe 4 footers, but you know, the short ones have given him some problems and he won't have to hit a ton of those this week. So, that'll help him. And then obviously Rahm Horschel, Mitchell Fowler. I have no idea who's coming out of that group. I mean, the easy play is probably Rahm. Horschel hasn't been great, but Mitchell's been awesome. And Fowler's been really good, dude. He really has been.
Yeah.
He just hasn't really like gotten that result that catapults him into the top 50, you know, puts him on the into the Masters. And because I think if he got into the Masters, it'd be a good launching pad because he's played well there too. So he's, you know, a top 10 in a major potentially, and then kind of kickstart the season and really find his way into contention, like serious contention. But so that, you know, those kind of went through it all there. Sungjae Im, I think if he gets through, could be a guy to knock off Scheffler because he plays well when it's soft. And it could be soft this weekend. Morikawa, same thing. If the wind's not going to blow this weekend, but it's going to blow a little bit Wednesday, Thursday. So he might not have the chance because he's not very good in the wind. So we shall see. That's about all I've got. Well, that's the entire field, I suppose. But
yeah, you went through everything pretty well. That's I haven't done the research. Well, I don't think you've done the research yet either. You're just going straight off rip, which is impressive.
Well, I did a little. I watched some YouTube videos of people talking about it, so I kind of
there you go
took a little bit of their stuff, but it's also just like a bit of a gut feeling. So
the next time we're doing a preview will be the Masters, Dan. After this.
Wow.
I know.
That it's exciting.
It is exciting.
It makes me smile.
I think I'm kinda, you know, mentally already there.
Really?
I mean sorta. I just don't think Jordan will win this week if I'm gonna be completely blunt. I hate saying that, but I just don't think with all the golf he's played he can go 7 freaking rounds of just playing elite golf. I think the winner will probably be a guy that did not play at the Valspar. And granted, that doesn't eliminate many dudes, but like, I just think it's a tough ask for Spieth, even though he's playing really well.
Yeah.
But who knows? Match play can get random, man. I mean, Kevin Kisner has, over his career, he hasn't been like anything special, but he just dominates this event. I mean, he's made a career off of the match play. So, you know, it doesn't really, I mean, anything can happen at the match play. You were mentioning Scotty too. I don't really know. I'd have to think about it a little bit, but it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't get out of this group. It wouldn't shock me. I think Norin is pretty good in match play, if I read correctly. Yeah. Tom Kim is a flusher of the golf ball. Who knows? Scotty could lose just one match and then he's done. Like, he doesn't get through with the loss. So who knows? That's why match play is, I guess, interesting. I think it's kind of why the players don't like it either, because it's so random. You shoot 65, guy shoots 64, you're going home. That could happen, but
it could, we'll see. It could just be one of those weeks for Scotty. But I think, you know, if the Players was last week, then I think it'd be a pretty decent chance at an upset. Tom Kim just hasn't been that great recently.
That's fair.
I'd have to look into Norin. Riley's been okay. He played with Spieth on Saturday at Valspar.
He started to play better.
But to me, it just Scheffler will just feel rested. There's just something different about that dude. Like, he never seems that.
Golf's easy, man. It's easy for him.
Yeah. Well, and when it's hard, it's like it's hard for five holes, and then he kind of figures it out. You know, it's not like he doesn't play bad rounds. Like, he doesn't play bad 18 holes. You know. But to your point, like, if he just can't get anything going through the first 10 holes or whatever, there's not really, you can't really be patient. And maybe he forces something, hits it in the water on that par five or the par four. And maybe it's a short week for Scheffler.
Torrey shoots 66 and, you know, someone shoots 65 and, you know, he loses. Like, that could happen.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's March still. It's March. You know, part of the fun of it. Tough week to bet, I think. Outrights in particular, but also just like group bets are a little bit easier. I think you can kind of eliminate a couple guys, and then it's basically a who wins that one matchup. But
that's fair.
We'll see. Good preview. We'll
thanks
be
for
back.
Tuning in.
We'll be back probably Monday morning, unless I mean you know the Sunday live recap would be amazing this week.
Might even be Tuesday morning because no tournament next week.
Oh,
for
yes,
us.
That's a good point.
So
that's a good point.
Might and not. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, because then it'll be, well, maybe even Wednesday morning then, because we'd have some Bolero picks to make.
That's true. We could do that.
But if it's a
Triumph.
Yeah, if it's Triumph, we will be live Sunday night because. That's
That'd
what
be cool.
We
do. That'd be cool.
That would be very cool. I just don't. You know, I don't have a problem expecting it, and I think he could.
Yeah, he could.
But I think seven's too much.
I'd agree. But.
And I wouldn't. To be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if he just like destroyed Mackenzie Hughes on Wednesday, because I think he's probably pretty pissed off about Sunday.
I'd appreciate a 7-5, Dan. Like,
but that would be sick. But I don't. Mackenzie Hughes might be the toughest match, actually.
I'd have to think about that
because I think Lowry's bad. Montgomery hasn't.
Montgomery can make 300 feet of putts, though.
That's a good point. But I think Montgomery. I don't know. Hughes might just. Hughes would be a type of dude you might bet FRL here. You know, if it was an actual tournament. So they might have his hands full Wednesday. It could go one of two ways for Hughes. It's either a good match or one of
those
guys
taken to town,
blown out of the water. And I doubt it's Jordan Spieth. So
yeah,
we shall see. I guess the only, you know, in my head, like the only way he wins is if he kind of cruises through his group and then kind of catches an off day from Homa and Cantlay and somehow ends up pretty like chilling into the final four. But that seems unlikely because it's Spieth. No, nothing is ever easy like that, but
yeah,
that's
very true.
We'll see. Should be a fun week. Starts Wednesday. And we'll see you guys then on Twitter and IG.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Sounds good. Peace.